Praise the Lord. Man, isn't it good to be here today? Don't you just sense the presence of God and how good it is? I was just thinking about that when we were saying he's worthy and everything. Have you ever practiced that on purpose when you were going through spirit of heaviness? Anybody have a spirit of heaviness ever? Have you ever just said, okay, I hear this works? Or you've done it before, but you just start saying how worthy God is, how wonderful he is. And it's amazing how that says, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, because it can't remain. And the thoughts align. So when we were speaking some things here this morning about the plans and the purposes of God for our lives and to line up with them, and sometimes it can be hard to get our believer associated with things that we've been presented with, understanding that we've been given. But the way for our believer to get hooked up with that is in the magnifying of God. And so I just want to encourage you in that. But let's take something from this morning to become a part of our pattern. Amen? That this is what we do. This is how we live. Praise God. So we've been, anybody want to help me with what we started on last week? Anybody remember? Anybody take some notes? Anybody have an idea? All right. Necessity of identity. And man, it's so important what you look at yourself like for you to be able to perform according to how you've been made. Identity is critical, isn't it? But we're going to look at a portion of that has to do with your heritage, with your name, with your family. How many know that your family can have a lot to do? I mean, if you're Italian, you have a certain kind of way you're going to act. It's like my sister's father-in-law said, we used to say, they can be kind of brutal to somebody and say, I'm going to slap you and that's for nothing. Now don't start nothing. You know, it's like, that's just how we do things. Well, okay. That might be your family way. I'm sorry, we got an Italian here this morning. I not wanting to hit on anybody, but you know, you got different. You say, well, it's just my culture to do this, and it is how your family is. And how many know that the blood in family runs deeper than a lot of other things, right? You're gonna stay loyal to family members. You might not like them, but you're gonna be loyal to them. Is that right? So there was something that my mom did that with me when I was growing up, and it was precious for me, because sometimes I tend to be like a perfectionist, and I can get very discouraged if things aren't perfect, you know. And the issue with that is it can start to adjust your identity, and you can identify with not being perfect. It's like, oh, I'm so low about not being perfect, you know. But my mom would take my hand, my face in her hands, and she'd say, you are a prince. And she would write me these letters. I have these amazing letters that she wrote to me and just told me who I am. Now, as a beerman, so we're German, so I've got excuses for stuff I do too, but as a child of the king, amen, we have an identity that requires letting go of some family things from before, doesn't it? For us to, because we don't get to occupy the inheritance that comes with it. How many know that inheritance comes with a family? I just want to testify about the goodness. My buddy was talking about the faithfulness of God. My dad took our whole family, we had five kids, to Eastern Colorado, which is like the armpit of Colorado, you know? Everybody knows about the colorful Colorado. This is not it. It's gray. It's just bland. You come across the border from Kansas on I-70, and it says, welcome to colorful Colorado, and it looks like an oxymoron. You know, it's like there is nothing there for another 2 or 3 hours. Anyway, my dad took us all there when I was seven and started a church. And man, he's a hard worker, but the only thing he did was drive bus from that point on. God provided for us. We actually lived in a home that somebody lent to us until I graduated. And then Dad bought 5 acres out in the country that God provided for, you know, with horses and stuff. It's like, they wait till I leave so they can finally do something, I guess. I don't know. But the faithfulness of God, and there was never a lack at all that we had. And then, man, he ended up traveling around the world. God really put it on his heart to be a missionary and to do all these kinds of things. And it's like, took a lot of resources. I traveled with him to Nepal, and man, he would do these conferences for these young pastors from all over Nepal, and they'd come in and they'd do these, like, a conference for them, and he would pay for all their way to get there and for them to stay there and everything. A lot of resources, you know? And something he never backed away from was what Buddy was talking about, is giving, and something he inspired me with. You know, it's like, this isn't even mine. All I can do is be faithful to give it, right? And to not even think about it. To just, man, this is what I do, right? Well, my dad, till he passed away at 90, was one of our most faithful givers to this church. Gave a substantial amount every month. I mean, this is after, you know, he's having to stay home all the time. And what I saw in that, and that's just what I got to see myself, and I'm thinking, man, I'm not, it's so humbling, you know? It's like, I should be doing this. But the heart that what I saw was the resources that God provided for him just because he's faithful. How many know there's a scripture that says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread? But it's not just that. It's like, it's going to be an overabundance of provision. Amen? Now, it wasn't super abundantly wealthy, but man, they had cars given to them and all kinds of stuff, you know, provided. Anyway, my point is, my father has passed away, and now there's an inheritance that I can expect. It's not because I'm the favorite child. It's not because I did everything right. It's because I'm a child, right? And I can expect that. I can have a demand upon that. I have to be a child. I have to identify as a child. And you know, it's so important for us to have this family connection with our understanding of who we are. In fact, everything else that's going to come from that is going to be an inheritance that comes as a result of an identity of childhood. Amen? Now, the issue is, we have been born into other cultures. We've been born into other mindsets. The world has put upon us this thing, and we've actually become slaves to feeling like we have to do things to a certain level in order to be accepted, right? And so this isn't just the old law. This is how we operate in the world. There's this expectation that we have upon us that if we don't meet certain standards, we're not good enough. Is that right? So what we're actually being driven by is fear. It's being a slave to fear. Is that right? Now, we can be kind of victorious in that. You know, we can be kind of studly, and we can kind of succeed to some extent, you know. But it's limited. And as long as we've been and when we come into a new birth in Christ, there's a liberation from that. Yeah, amen? But it's a transformation. You know, I'm so glad for the transformation in our minds. This is going to be a significant part of that. And it's an ongoing one. Amen? It's going to have to be something that I'm going to give myself to. And we're going to see. We cannot do it on our own anyway. But it needs to be a pursuit. Amen? Yeah. I'd like to just look at some fun stuff about being a child versus a slave or a guest. Because once you know you're a child, and so this was me again in Colorado. I went to college, you know, and I could come home, get home in the middle of the night. Am I knocking on the door? I'm going in, right? And when I get in there, I'm going to go to the refrigerator. I'm going to get anything I want. I'm not going to turn it up loud, but I might turn on the TV. I might. Why? Their house is my house. How do you say that in Spanish? That's what God says to us, right? His house is our house, right? But there has to be that attitude, that understanding that if it's in my family, it's mine. Amen? It's an identity that's associated with it. Who had a problem with that in the Old Testament? The children of Israel, right? They had these forefathers that they had become so separated from. They had heard about Abraham. They had heard about Isaac. They had heard about these people. And they somehow, in the stories, they knew that they were supposed to be their children. But what did they become in Egypt? They became slaves, didn't they? To the point where they got in the wilderness and they have God going before them every day. They got a cloud. They got a pillar of fire. They got all this going on. But they get up to the promise, to the inheritance. And they still don't see themselves as a child. They still see themselves in bondage. We cannot do that because this is too big. Is that right? I'm telling you what, there's an identity in Christ that requires an association with who we are as a child of God. Amen? So, can you go with me on this? All right, this is going to be good. So what a child does and a guest cannot do. The front door. A child walks in without knocking, sometimes even slams the door behind them. Now, some of these actions I'm going to say, they need to be adjusted if they are happening this way. But they can happen, right? A guest or a slave politely rings the doorbell, waits to be let in, and says, "Thanks for having me." You don't do that at home, do you? It's your place. Ha-ha. Okay. Can't stop and make the correlations too much. Just make your own correlations, okay? All right. The fridge privileges. Child opens the fridge at midnight, drinks milk straight from the carton, and leaves the door wide open. Again, maybe that shouldn't happen, but guest slave waits to be offered food and says, "No, I couldn't possibly," while secretly starving, right? Living room seating. Man, this happens, does it not? Child sprawls out on the couch, hogs the remote, and eats snacks that aren't even theirs. Actually, this sounds like a brother-in-law of mine. And while you're trying to do something, he'll get on the phone and just talk as loud as he can. It's like, "I love you. I love you because my served sister married you." Okay. Guest, slave, sits on the edge of the couch, carefully not to spill crumbs, and asks permission to change the channel. They might not even do that. They might just put up with whatever's on there, right? Bedrooms. Child walks into the mom and dad's room at 2 a.m. because they had a bad dream. No knocking. No worried about what might else be going on at that time of the night. Guest, slave, would never dream of barging in. They stay in their place, right? Shoes in a mess. Child kicks off. Again, this is not a good action, but child kicks off shoes in the hallway and leaves Legos as landmines for others. How many have stepped on a... We used to have jacks. Remember jacks? Man, those were really hurt when you step on those things. And you don't kick the child out of the house because they did that, did you? No. They're still your child. Now, there might be some repercussions as a result of that, right? But a guest slave lines their shoes neatly by the door, cleans up after themselves, and apologizes for the mess they didn't even make. All right. Family name. Child writes their name on the Wi-Fi password, sticky note, the mailbox, and even carves it into the dining table. Guest or slave doesn't dare claim the name. They know it's not theirs. So, we've been given a name. We sang about a name this morning, didn't we? But it's so important to identify with it. All right, let's go into some scriptures here. Slavery versus family freedom. So John 8:34. Isn't this cool how Jesus approached what he was bringing to us? Well, the biggest thing he was going to accomplish for us was identity with him. Amen? But for that to happen, the first identity with Christ is going to cause everything else to open up for us is to be a son just like him. And this, man, this is, I'll tell you what, this is a work of the Spirit to get this part, but this is a, if you want to use some faith on something, man, believe that just as Jesus is, we are children also. Amen? What did he get in trouble for? A lot of times, maybe part of it was this crucifixion, was he said, "I'm a son of God," didn't he? That, and they said, oh, that means you're putting yourself, you're identifying yourself with God. And the irony is, that's exactly what he came to do for all of us. So those people that were accusing him, he was making it possible for them to say the very same thing. Isn't that kind of interesting? In fact, that's why he came. Not to just die and rise from the grave so we could say, yay, Jesus, but so that we could be a son too. Yes. Amen? Yes. Be a child too. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. Man, there's this need for understanding. I tell you what is precious to me, because let me finish. We can do the last verse here. So if a son sets you free, you are truly free. Amen? And so something that I grew up in, because, you know, I told you I was kind of a perfectionist and stuff, and man, there was a holiness thing too, that there was a lot of stipulations put on this and that. You just don't do certain things. You just don't do certain things. And I understand that we're going to walk holy. We're not going to do certain things. Watch certain things. We're going to say things. We're not going to wear skirts that are too short. We're not going to, you know, there's a lot of things we weren't doing. But with that was an association of condemnation, you know, that somehow I was falling out of relationship with God if I sinned. Now, if we serve sin, we've chosen to go out. But here's what the really cool thing from the God side. He never gives up on us as his child. And the understanding of that can give you liberation from sin rather than bondage to it. But the way out of sin is not condemnation. The way out of sin is identification. Amen? How important that is then to understand that my relationship with God, he considers me his child, just like that child that stepped on the jacks and I wanted to kick him out the front door. He says, no, that's not what we do. You're still my child. Everything I've already provided everything for you, and all you need to do is receive it, and you can walk in everything just like Jesus. Amen? Just as he rose from the grave to walk in newness of life, so we're supposed to walk. Amen? Yeah. So if the Son sets you free, you should be free from all of that. But it's going to be as a son. All right, let's look at transformed family identity. Matthew 12:48. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Remember, he was in a house there, and they brought his mother to him. He said, Jesus, behold your mother. He said, good learning opportunity. Why? He said, because what we're doing right here isn't just being radical revolutionaries. We're entering into a new family relationship. Amen? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Now, what's really cool about this identity is that I can claim dad and mom as my dad and mom, but as soon as I do, everybody else that came out of mom's womb is also a child. Amen? To be honored just as I expect to receive honor. Is that right? This is really cool, and it's very necessary, because you don't get something that's exclusive to us. Amen? To be a child is to be in the family. And that's what Jesus started doing. He started calling his God Father. Nobody did that before, did they? It was just Jesus started this. Why? Because everything that he was about was going to be needing everybody else. And I was just thinking about that. They said, Jesus, how do we pray? How do we pray? Now, I saw something. He said, our Father. Now, it's really interesting to me. I just saw this. I said, a lot of times we go right past the our, and we just go to Father. And we might as well be saying my Father. But the understanding is, to have an identity with Christ, you have to have an identity with his body. Amen? So that when even you approach the Father, you approach it with a family attitude. Amen? I'm a part of the family of God. Is that good? Oh, isn't that wonderful? So, he started calling himself Father all the time, and he even said, man, when you talk to God, or he talked to him, oh, I've said that wrong. He started calling his Father, God, Father. Jeez, you know what I'm saying. All right. He wasn't calling himself Father. All right. And he said, man, you guys do this same thing, because you're going to have a transformation of your understanding about God from somebody that's far away that you can't even say his name to somebody who is actually your identity. Amen? Isn't that good? All right, let's look here. So transform family identity. Matthew 12:48. Jesus asked, Romans 8:28. Jesus, we are chosen brothers and sisters. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We looked at this last week, before we were even formed in our mother's womb, God knew us, right? So our identity begins with his creation of us. That helps us understand who he is. But what he's saying here, right here also, is he's saying, he foreknew you. He foreknew what you were capable of and actually saw you as part of his family. Now, what's really cool about this is you can go anywhere in the world right now. Because we just did. We went to Italy, and then I went to Turkey. I didn't really meet too many Christians in Turkey. But what's really cool, as soon as you meet somebody that's a Christian, before they even say something, you can sense family. Have you ever done that? I got to go to Africa for a while for 7 months. And, man, they're singing songs I don't understand. I just kind of watermelon it, you know, and sing along with them or whatever, you know. Might not be able to hook up with the culture, but as soon as the praise goes on, amen? And the kindred spirit that you can have with somebody that's on the other side of the world, why? Because we have the same Father and the same destiny that he foreknew each one of us to become a part of what? Isn't this cool? Because the world tries to do this, that we're supposed to be coexisting and we're supposed to be understanding each other and accepting each other for everything. And that's not true. Right. We can only be one as we become one in the Spirit with the same Father. Right. Amen? Yes. And take on that same identity as a family member. Now, what do family members do? They protect each other. What do family members do? They lift each other up. If there's a problem, they provide for them. Amen? Yeah. But can you see how this needs to become a part of an identity before you can go somewhere in Christ and start claiming to be powerful and strong and everything else that we'll look at? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. There's an inheritance to be had, but the inheritance is preceded by an identity with family. Amen? Yeah. All right, let's go to Galatians 4:1. So we're adopted to full inheritance as a firstborn child. So we have a precious gentleman, family member, brother. He's a father also. And he was sharing this at the end last week, and it was just so perfect for where we're going with this. But you have two of your own children, is that right? And then five that you've adopted? Yeah. And, man, if you think about Stephen too much, you just might start crying. I don't know, because he's so faithful to God in all this. But he was sharing this with me, and he said, I asked him if I could share it, and I'll do it to the best of my ability. But for all of his children, he's had these wonderful talks with them about their life, what they're going to do. And he said, whatever you want to do, I'm going to support you in it. That's really cool. Now, whatever you do, I'm going to provide for you to do that. Well, he's got all kinds of children that have gone to college. One's in the Army. Is there one in the Navy too? One's in the Navy. Okay, that's cool. Well, that was smart. I don't know if you helped him do that, but he's got some that, man, he's footing the bill big time, you know, for their education and everything else. And but what he's done is he said, I'm going to be your father. Whatever you need me to provide for you, I'm going to provide for it. And then he said, okay, so what do you want to do? And he's left the direction. That's what I think is so cool. He's left, I'm sure he's guided somewhat, but he's left the direction up to them. What's in their heart? What are they wanting to do, you know? And so he's got some, you could call them firstborn children. That means it's between them, him and his wife. And then you have children that were adopted. They were all from the same family, is that right? And it was a very oppressed family. I mean, it was like a nightmare for them, I'm sure. It incredibly affected them physically and in a lot of different ways. So not only were they taking these, they took them on as foster children initially, and then they adopted them. And having a foster child is one thing. That's like having a guest in your home. But as soon as you go through adoption, and it's not an easy process, I don't think. It's you know, requires a lot. But as soon as you go through adoption, there's a change of identity that takes place. Their name is not the same anymore, right? And now, especially in Stephen's case, the opportunity is completely changed. Now, just because that changed, it was still up to them what they were going to do with it. And so one of his children, he was sharing this with me, one of his children said, well, I just don't think I got any of the same provision that those other ones did. I think I was ignored. I think I was, you know, disrespected or whatever. And Stephen said, no, you just didn't do anything. You just didn't choose to do anything. He said, all the provision that you see your brothers and sisters, the firstborn and the other adopted ones, don't you be telling me it's because you're adopted. No, when I adopted you, you got everything I had for you. Amen? Isn't that good? What a precious thing. Now, it's not, what's wonderful is he can change and he can, and you're still there for him. That's the thing. Isn't that cool? That sometimes, but to understand that just as his child can have this misperception because of this identity that's trying to follow him and say, no, you're not good enough. Your parents didn't even want you. They gave you that kind of stuff will keep you from choosing to go to the provision that's already been made for you. Amen? Amen. In order for you to get the inheritance, the heritage that's yours in what you've been adopted into, you have to let go of the old. Amen? And you have to say, okay, now I'm in a new family. And in this family, the degree to which I access its provision is the degree to how I see myself as a child in this family. Amen? This is good, isn't it? All right, Galatians 4:1. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set, and that's the way it was with us before Christ came. So this is what's really cool. Even before Christ, there was this built into people that we were made by God to actually be his children. But until Christ, there wasn't the ability to grow up into that. And we were still slaves to the old way. That's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children and we were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. And God sent him to buy freedom for us who are slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Now, this is cool. How many know that everyone who's born of God is a child of God? Amen? And when you become a and you receive Jesus as your Savior, you become a new creation. But you know what's taking place? We're getting a new father, a new lineage of fathers. Yeah. Abraham's our father now, right? But we're adopted. How many Jews do we have here this morning? They're kind of like the firstborn. Are you kind of? I think I might have some Jewish blood. My name's Bierman, you know? It's like Betterman, I don't know. But but my heritage has to be associated with him. Amen? And I'm adopted into the family of God. I might be a German, but no, I'm a German Jew, right? I'm his chosen. I'm his chosen now. Amen? But there has to be this understanding that our rights are connected to our Christ. That I can't just act like anything. That's why those actions that I was doing humorously at the beginning, we can't just act any way and have it and experience the benefits. Amen? Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his. It's so funny. Sometimes a translator will say, hair. You're not his hair. You're his heir. Amen? Oh, there needs to be this understanding of this hierarchy that we have, or this, whatever you would call that, that because I'm an heir of Christ, I'm a joint heir with him. Amen? That means everything that he provided for me is mine as long as I identify with that. Amen? Let's go to Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you feel you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Man, this goes to what Pastor Kim was talking about. Amen? That we have a witness in our spirit here that we can either listen to and identify with. Amen? And what's really cool about this, though, is it's not just left up to us to hear a good teaching and feel like we have to fix it ourselves. How it's going to be accomplished is by the Spirit. We're speaking some things here this morning, and remember what Jesus said. He said, my words are spirit, and they are life. Amen? That's why what we're speaking here today, and I put complete dependence on the Holy Spirit to actually make it go into the heart. Because we prayed this over y'all today. I'm praying it over myself. I want to be changed by the word today. Amen? Amen? And I need this witness in my spirit to help me in this way specifically. You know, we kind of spoke about this in tongues and interpretation here this morning. There's a way for us to go that will take us out of slavery, that will take us into a new way in him. And it doesn't matter how it's like people like say, well, I've been walking in the way. Well, get out of the way, you know. Let's go the way God gives us to go. Amen? For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we also share his sufferings. Isn't that it? Are we supposed to go to the cross? Are we supposed to get stripes on our back? You know what the sufferings of Christ were that were the biggest things that he endured? Were his flesh trying to get him to do something else, to identify with the world. Is that right? You know, for you to identify as Christ, your flesh is going to have to be put down and not get its way. I say, hey, I'd like to tell you who you are. No, you say, flesh, you're not telling me who I am. You're going to suffer. Now, my flesh might have to actually suffer. There might be some denying of something. But is it because I'm trying to fix something myself? No, it's because I have a passion for the identity that I have in Christ. And I'm saying, nothing's going to change how I see myself from being in Christ. Amen? That's why we don't sin. That's why we don't partake in certain things. That's why we don't talk a certain way. Why? Every time we choose that, Jesus said, you're a slave to another father. That's what you are. You're identifying with another father. Remember, he said that to the religious people. He said, you're of your father, the devil. It's all about family, isn't it? Identifying who we're united with in our family. Amen? All right. Let's look at Galatians 3:28. Y'all good? Promised inheritance requires the identity of a child. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for y'all are one in Christ. I had to make that Texan, didn't I? And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Ah, I'll tell you what. For the faith that you need, for everything that you want to claim God's provision for in your life, there is a direct association to your identity with Christ. Amen? When you start seeing yourself as a child, you're entitled to that thing. You're not trying to get it by faith. No, it's already got. You're just laying hold on it because you are a child. Amen? If it's my inheritance, it's not about how I look. It's not about how smart I am. It's not how I get all my ducks in a row. It's because I'm a child. Amen? And I can step up to the plate and I can say, this is mine. I'll just take that right now. Amen? Can you see how necessary this is? Identity is necessary, isn't it? And it's amazing to me how when I share something like this, I'm thinking, man, everything else pivots around this. And then you teach something else and everything pivots around that. That's how God is, though. Everything that we get from him is pivotal for our life. And we can either go from it with victory, or we can disregard it and not even consider it again. We can say, no, I'm going to be transformed today. I'm going to see myself as a child of God like I never have before. Amen? And when I do, I'm going to see the heir that I have, the heritage that I have, the inheritance that's mine. Amen? Okay. I got one more here for you. Romans 11:17. To share in the family nourishment of God's family must identify as his child. And I've just been saying this, but how many know that there is a nourishment in God? What is nourishment? Makes you healthy. Makes you enjoy life. Have you ever gone through something where something's not right in your body and you just don't want to do anything anymore? I just want to lay on the couch. I just don't have any motivation to go. You know, there's something wrong in your body, isn't there? There's something that's not working right. Is that right? And that can be us in our Christian walk. Things just aren't happening. You know? I can't even get out of bed. I can't even go to the Word. I don't even want to pray. I don't, you know what? He wants to be our nourishment, what causes us to be motivated every day in him. Amen? But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles, you are branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. So we can go into this going forward from here because there is a nourishment in the identity of a child of God that we need to begin to recognize, lay claim upon, but it's all going to be based upon this understanding of who we become as a child of God. Amen? There's no identity in Christ beyond being a child. We have to be his children and we're in his family. Amen? Amen. All right. So I'm just going to go through some of these. It's a little bit of a list here. But so in the app, there's an opportunity for us to, I'm giving you no excuse to not grow as a result of this. Amen. So there's some, how does this actually look in our life? And how will what's the contrast between being a child? Amen. What is the transformation going to be when I begin to see myself as a child? So I'm not going to be an orphan anymore. I'm going to be adopted. That means no matter where I've come from now, I've been adopted into the family of God. Amen? No longer abandoned or alone, brought into God's family. Okay? I'm not a stranger anymore. Now I'm a citizen. Once far away, now part of God's household and kingdom. Now, let's don't just let these be cliches that we think, I already know that. Amen? Say, God, I need your spirit to turn this into a powerful stone that you're trying to build a foundation in me. Amen? From enemy, how many know that we were God's enemy? To now I'm a friend, reconciled to God through Christ, and I'm walking in fellowship. I'm no longer a slave, I'm a son and a daughter. When you take me up to the Jordan River, I'm going to go across because I'm your child. And I'm not going to fear the size of the giant on the other side. I'm not going to fear the size of the wall. Because my identity is with a God that said I'm going to overcome all those things. Amen? From a laborer to an heir. Not working for wages, but receiving an inheritance in Christ. Amen? Now, what's really cool about this is it's not that we're not going to do anything or be hard workers. It's just everything we're doing is not to acquire a place in Him. It's from a place in Him that now we can do amazing things we could never do before. Does that make sense? From condemned to forgiven. No longer guilty, but justified and free. I mean, this is the battle of every Christian, I believe, is to ward off condemnation, something that's not right in us, or somebody accuses us of something. You know what? We have an identity that when we get revelation of it by the Spirit, it frees us from condemnation. No longer guilty, but justified and free. Amen? From dead to alive, rescued from spiritual death and into eternal life. From rejected to chosen. Not overlooked, but handpicked by the Father in love. From bound to free, not shackled by sin, but released in true freedom. From powerless to empowered. Indwelt by the Spirit, equipped for life and mission. From failure to conqueror. As Jesus is, so are we victorious in all things. Amen? From earthly to heavenly. Identity no longer defined by this world, but by eternal citizenship. From temporary to eternal. An everlasting place in the Father's house, secure forever. Amen? Man, this identity is necessary. It's a prerequisite, isn't it? We don't get to go on to those other things. Man, each one of those other things is so essential too. Amen? Knowing our provision, knowing our healing, knowing our... Every one of these things I just said, and we can focus on them going forward, but they all come from this inheritance that we have in Christ. Amen? Is this who we are today? You know, in this room right now, we're all children of God. And this is amazing. The limits are taken off for each child that believes. Amen? That's what Jesus said. He said, man, all things are possible to you if you just believe. What are we believing? Have you ever wondered that? So what are you talking about? I believe this is a very critical part of that belief. If you actually believe, you're a child of God. Amen? Everything Jesus did, you can do. Is that right? He didn't come to just be the Savior that nobody followed. He came to show us how to do it. He came as a man to show us how to do it. Is that right? Amen? I'd like us to just do something here today. Because I really believe everybody in this place, and we can pray. If you've not made Jesus your Lord, man, there's an opportunity for you today. Man, he sent Jesus to give his life so you can be free from eternal damnation. And you can have an eternal life with him, like this last verse we read. There's an opportunity for you. But I believe everybody in this place is a part of the family of God. And I'd like for us to stand up today because each one of us is in need of identity transformation. Can y'all raise your hand and say, that's me today? Is that you today? I'll tell you what, we are all in need of identity transformation. Amen? And I just want you to know that right now the Spirit of God is strong in you. The anointing of God is strong in you to break yokes of bondage. What are yokes of bondage? I believe this is a critical part of it. The enemy, you know, in America, there's been a statement made that no weapons have to be sent, no bombs have to be blasted. We're going to change you by an identity change. And that's what's been attempted in America, I believe. And I'm so grateful for a change in that there's something going on. But the enemy comes, and if this is so critical, it's going to be the place he attacks most. Is that right? And I believe that it's by the Spirit that we overcome this thing. It's not by our own arm of strength. It's not by our ability to say everything right or to attack something. Amen? It's by the Spirit. And so this is what's so powerful, is he's put his Spirit so strong on each one of us. Amen? And I'd like for us to just exercise a drawing on the reality of that and say, no, in me right now is an identity with Christ that is to be a minister of reconciliation, a minister that breaks a yoke of bondage. And here's what's really cool. You begin to release this over somebody else, and the provision of that release gives release in you. Amen? When it's no longer just about you. Man, we can come and just want to receive from God, and we can just remain frustrated. But we come and we receive from him, but then make sure somebody else gets it. Can you see this? What we're doing is now it has a purpose. Now it's becoming nourishment. I'll tell you what, the greatest nourishment you'll have in your life, in your identity with Christ, is not what you get from him, not the stuff that you acquire from him, but the stuff that you administer, that gets administered through you. Amen? So I just saw this before, and if we can do this today, if we can just, can we have some music? There we go. Hunter's going to play. And we can just, man, take some time. And just, if you want to just pray in the Spirit a little bit or something, but let's reach out. These people around us are family members. Amen? Amen? You're a member of the family of God. And each one of us, there's a need for transformation of identity with regard to our sonship in Christ. Amen? Oh, there's so much more to go towards. There's a path that gets brighter. Amen? But we need to respond to that day today. Praise God. And if we can do that, I thought, you know, we could have everybody come up here and we could pray for you. But you know what? Y'all are the family. Y'all are called to this. And to get a real identity that you're his child, just like Jesus is. Man, how did Jesus look at stuff? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Amen. So can we serve each other this morning today a little bit? Let's just take 10 minutes. Can we do that? And let's just honor God's presence here, first of all. And then let's say, God, show me. If you want to just touch somebody, if you want to speak, if God gives you something to speak over somebody, let's minister. Let's build each other up. Amen? This morning, the greatest thing that's going to be accomplished is the administration of love that touches somebody's heart with a release from brokenness, release from bondage. Amen? Hallelujah. I just believe that the Holy Spirit wants to minister through each one of us today. Anything in your life today, you're not adopted, you are a child. Amen? You're not an orphan anymore, you're an adopted child.